T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you for the next 4 hours. A week from today is Election Day in Jackson County, question one. And coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we're expected to have Jonathan Katz of Fox 4 join us. He's been all over this story and get his perspective on where things stand today, folks he's talked to. Also, the latest yesterday where both the Royals and Chiefs had sent the community benefits agreement and the lease agreements to the Jackson County Legislature. And if you read the email that came out later in the day, but when we got off the air, I'm sure you took a look at that too, Cody, and it was pretty stern wording on their feelings towards Frank White in the entire process. So I want to get Jonathan Katz's,
certainly threw him under the bus a little again.
Yeah, so I want to get Katz's perspective on that. 10:30, 10:45, he's obviously very busy today. So in that window, we're expected to have Jonathan join us here on the show. We'll also, of course, get to what's bugging Drew at some point. And he informed us of something before the show. I don't know when we're going to talk about it, but you were scammed over the weekend.
Yeah, I was unfortunately scammed.
You have to explain, not good, man. It wasn't good. It wasn't good.
How
Drew?
Did he know it was a scam?
It wasn't a good look.
This
I
wasn't
feel
even
bad
like
for
a
you.
Good, you know, I'll be honest. There's some scams that are like really smart.
Yeah, you're
like,
man,
they got it figured out. They got the details worked out.
Not this one.
I don't know if this is one of those.
It plays into me being too nice.
Yeah, I think you gotta
definitely.
I think you gotta
too nice, too trustworthy.
Be more mean.
Yeah. So we'll let you explain it at some point. I don't know when we're gonna get to it, but you do need to explain once again what happened, and maybe the people can help you out a little bit.
You guys could help me out technically as well.
We could. We
I'll
could,
try.
We could.
I don't know. I don't think you
by,
will.
By
exactly,
talking about it, I think,
will try to help you out.
I think by helping you, you know, one way of helping you is talking about it on the air.
Yes.
And making sure people know.
And helping other people.
Yes.
This is
make
my
sure
idea
they don't fall
originally,
victim to the same scam.
Yeah. We will talk about it later and I'll explain.
I can tell you this. Someone didn't promise him a meet and greet with Joe Burrow and he thought it was real. It wasn't quite that, but there was but it's something. It was some
it's
type
worse
of scam.
Than that.
It might be.
I lost something.
Yeah. Yes, you did. All right, let's talk about something that we briefly mentioned. We were discussing L'Jarius Sneed and like, all right, what do you do with the $19.8 million you freed up?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do you go and sign some free agents, as we said yesterday, or do you use it to extend a couple of players that you likely have interest in extending? And I think the three that everybody keys in on in-house are Creed Humphrey, Nick Bolton, and Trey Smith.
Because it's too early for Trent McDuffie or George Karlaftis. Or we would also be asking questions about them.
Yeah, as of this month, you're eligible to start looking at extensions for Creed, Trey, and Bolton. So the question is, of that group, who do you think you give the extension to if you were Brad Veach? Because I don't think all three of them are getting extensions. So if you could only go one, I think they'll end up extending two, by the way. But if you could only extend one, I think so.
The reason why I asked that is, before the show, I was trying to remember who all they've extended to be like, hey, when did that extension happen? When should I expect one of these extensions to land? And I could only think of three players they had ever extended for like a multi-year deal. And it was like Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and we eventually remembered Harrison Butker. Well, Chris Jones, but he was a free agent. Like, in my opinion,
gotcha.
Different circumstances. And they had to get him before the free agency period. because he was a pending free agent. These are just guys who were in-house and they gave a contract extension to before they hit the open market. That's Kelce, Mahomes, and Butker. Unless I'm missing one, and I really tried to, I didn't like go through a list, but like I really tried to remember, that's it. So part of me thinks it's only one, but that's fine. For your sake, maybe it's two. Let's talk about which ones to do it for.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting if you look at what's the benefit of extending these guys now anyway. Like sometimes we just like, hey, this is when you just extend players. What's the benefit on the Chiefs end? Because right now, here's what you're looking at cap wise for Creed Humphrey, $5.2 million, which is a heck of a steal still for the what you're getting.
Sure.
Nick Bolton, $3.5 million. That's a steal. Trey Smith, $3.4 million. They're all playing well above that level. So therefore, you're getting them below market value cap hits. Okay. So you're like, all right, why would you extend it? For Creed Humphrey, we've talked about now with Jason Kelce retiring, even though he's got to figure out this snapping thing, he's considered one of the best, if not the best center in football. His current cap hit is $5.2 million. So if he's getting a four-year extension, some of the estimates from like SpotTrack and these different sites, $14.5 million a year, maybe like a $17 million signing bonus or something like that, that would actually only change this year's cap hit and save maybe like $800,000. It's not like a huge savings for this year. But does it put you in better position to just get it out of the way to where maybe the market keeps going up? That's what you have to balance with this. I think Nick Bolton's the guy that they're going to extend. I also think Creed, but if you're asking me specifically, I think Nick Bolton's also part of this scenario. And I know for whatever reason, people kind of hate on Nick Bolton. I don't know what it is. I think it's just because of the position, and he plays linebacker, and he's not a guy that's going to go sack the quarterback. I think that's what it is. The same thing happened when he got drafted. Like, people weren't a huge fan of the pick. And when I hear how Steve Spagnuolo talks about him, though, I think they're absolutely going to end up extending Nick Bolton. And people are going to freak out when they see the dollar amount, but the market rate is around $15 million, $15.5 million on average per year. That's the going rate for a linebacker. And hearing Steve Spagnuolo discuss how important he is to the defense and how much they trust him and how smart of a football player he is, I do think Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey will be the two, but Nick Bolton is someone that I think a lot of people don't want to give an extension to, and I'm really not sure why, other than you just don't want any linebacker to get an extension.
So I looked at the tag numbers, just being like, hey, maybe there's an extension, a tag, and a release. You can't afford to tag any of them. It would cost $24.5 million estimated for 2025, $24.5 million for either Trey or Creed. And if you said, well, let's go to the linebacker instead, $24 million. That's more than what it would cost to just retain them, because linebackers have now outpaced defensive linemen on the tech. So, for instance, if we were having this conversation, but instead of Trey Smith, it was Karloftis, I would be like, they're going to tag Karloftis to buy themselves some time. And then they can try to work out the extension, but they can $22 million for a pass rushing defensive end. Make that happen a little bit. But because so many pass rushers come out of the 3-4 scheme at linebacker, and the numbers haven't reflected that differently, it is more to tag an outside linebacker than it is to tag a lineman, which means it's more to tag Nick Bolton. I think they're getting it done with Creed. I think people are pointing out, they're like, they're not going to do it with Creed because of the snapping. But this is the first year in his career where that has been an issue. And it also feels like a fundamental thing, not the rest of my job. I'm not saying it's not an important part of his job. It's probably the most important part.
Oh, it's a problem, but to me, that part's not an issue for the contract, because the Chiefs, one way or the other, in that room, Andy Reid and Andy Heck, if they think it's just something they can fix, then it's not, you know what I mean? They're not giving him an extension if they actually think this is just what he's going to have the rest of his career.
He's just screwed? No, they're going to think they can solve.
Because it's going to cost them a game at one point. They're lucky that Patrick Mahomes is that good of a player that the low snaps haven't cost them a game. It will cost them at some point, unless it is, hey, we need to make some corrections in the offseason. Maybe he had the yips a little bit. To me, that part's irrelevant for the contract extension, because I don't think Andy Reid and the team is giving you an extension if they actually thought it was an ongoing problem.
This is where you come back around. And look, I understand the value of these players and how much longer. They don't have Joe Tooney under contract that long. So for you to say, hey, they're not going to extend, they're not going to have one of the highest paid left and right guards, those two things would never technically cross paths. They would give Trey Smith the extension. By the time the extension kicked in, which would be after 2025, Joe Tooney would no longer be on this roster. They don't technically have to pay both at the same time. And yet, I still wonder whether or not they would do it. The only thing that causes me some thought to be like, maybe Trey should be included in this conversation more than you and I typically do, and if the text line thinks that it's going to be Trey Smith, is that They've shown that they think guard is at least important. Now, that was in an offseason in which they desperately wanted to fix the offensive line. But it's not like they didn't make a guard the highest paid player at his position. And the guaranteed salary for Trey Smith next year is none. Zero. So by extending Trey Smith, you actually protect guard at one position and you walk on 33-year-old Joe Tooney and give yourself a lot more leeway. I think it's probably easier to find guard than center. That's why I lean that way. Yep. But I don't think I would completely rule out Trey Smith, I guess, is the point.
Now, the one plan for that position anyway, I think no matter what, I mean, you could get a guard, let's say, in the third round, and that's your answer on either whatever side you're on, whether it's, hey, that guard ends up being the Joe Tooney replacement, or there's been some speculation closer to the draft. Is there a scenario in which they say, you know what, let's trade Trey Smith, let's get a pick, and then just draft a guard? My only hesitation with that is, again, this three-peat era that they're in, you know, and right this second, what's your best offensive line you can put out there? Your best offensive line you can put out there involves still having Tooney at left guard, Creed Humphrey at center, and Trey Smith at right guard. And you know how I feel about left tackle. But still, the right guard, having a rookie suddenly in the middle of this is probably not right. You know, going forward, I should say, maybe you look at 2025, and that's when you're okay with having a right guard that's a rookie. I don't know if they want to do that right in the middle of this run that they're on and trying to go for history, not to mention, as of right this second, Wanya Morris, a second-year guy, is your starting left tackle. I still don't think that's going to be what they roll into the season with, but as of right this second, their starting left tackle is Wanya Morris. I don't want to also have a rookie right guard if they were to move on from, you know, trade Trey Smith or whatever. I think that's a year from now. Yeah, but with
Wanya, maybe he could be the guard, you know? Like, there's more flexibility. That's why I think there were some people asking the question about whether or not you, and I can't remember where it started, but like, would you trade Trey Smith?
Yeah.
Like, because I make this argument all the time, and I think it's a good one that teams don't utilize enough. Like, good teams, the Patriots used to do this. If you know, like, let's say they're having these same internal conversations, and by the way, I assume they are, Gold. They're having an internal conversation about who they're going to extend and who they're probably at the end of this contract going to let go. Like, they knew for seemingly years Willie Gay was never going to get an extension here. So if they already know that about Creed or Trey or Bolton, that the odds of getting an extension are low, then you should explore the trade market if the value in return is worth it. I'm not saying just do it for anything, because you are in the middle of back-to-back Super Bowls and you want to keep the best team on the field you can. But if you're Brett Veach, as we've discussed, you're probably always playing a 10-year plan because you got Patrick Mahomes and you're trying to figure out a way to get the maximum number of Super Bowls squeezed out of that man. And if you're going to try to get that, then you've got to be thinking about, well, I've got 1 year left of Trey, or, you know, like, or I could trade him now, get 4 years left of a fourth round guard. And while that fourth round guard, who we think will probably be good, isn't ready, Wanya will be our guard. We'll figure out somebody else, some other veteran down the list to do that. And we'll spot start it until we get the guy in the rookie year that we're going to do it. It's always good to remember that Trey Smith wasn't supposed to start right away. The first day training camp opened in St. Joe, he was not the starting right guard. That guy got hurt, and then Trey Smith never gave the job away. He just never gave it back up. That's the key for what you might enter a camp going into. I can't remember who was the guard that he beat out. Do you remember now?
It wasn't Wiley, because at that point it wasn't. Because Wiley got a job because someone got hurt as well.
No.
Which I don't remember who was in the mix.
God, what was? Oh, man. Now I don't remember. I don't remember. I was like, who was that camp battle? He had, like, I don't remember what it was, but he wasn't the starter out of the gate. That's all I remember.
Was that wasn't when Chris Long was, or that wasn't when Long was
Kyle Long?
Kyle Long, sorry.
Ooh, maybe. Or wait, it was Kyle Long, right?
Now you got me confused on which Long, you know. Now you got me confused on him. I don't remember. Yeah, I'm not sure, man. I'm not 100%.
Yeah. Okay. This is the unimportant part of the conversation.
Yeah.
That's the shortest article ever. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna look up 2021.
Was that LDT?
Was
that the LDT issue?
No, it wasn't LDT.
Kyle Long.
It was
Kyle, by the way.
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Someone says Niang.
All right. So everybody in camp in 2021 was Niang, Kyle Long, and LDT, but it doesn't matter.
Man, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, Renner?
I don't.
Was it Renner? Hold on. Wait. Was it Renner? Do you remember it?
Remmer.
Remmer. Was it Remmer? Was it Michael Remmers? Was it him?
I'm not sure, man.
Man, it doesn't matter. The point is that you can draft a guy, you can technically give the job to Wanye, and then you can compete outside of it. I can't do it. Someone is just like, dude, who knows? Like, no one's going to remember anymore. They've won Super Bowls since then. Like, I can pull back up the roster, but even that's not going to help us. The point is that I think it's going to be Creed Humphrey. I'm not as sure about Bolton. I understand your argument that is Spags loves him. It's a pretty good one. I don't have like a counter.
He runs the defense.
I don't have a counter to that. But the guy who ran the defense before was Tyrann Mathieu. And when Nick Bolton was out this year, Drew Tranquil ran the, like, to me, while it's true and he does, they have managed to find other people who could do that in his absence and before and after he was here. So I'm not going to get too hung up on that as a possibility. If I had to guess just one, I'd guess Creed. If I guess two, I'd be the same as you, Creed and Bolton.
All right, we'll get back into some Chiefs coming up a little bit later on, and specifically the NFL, some rule changes that they announced today. We kind of knew the kickoffs were likely going to change, but now that is official. As we were getting off the show yesterday, we said, hey, in a couple hours, we're going to be keeping an eye on what happens out in L.A. with Shohei Ohtani and waiting a statement. It wasn't really a press conference at all. It was reading a statement, and then, of course, his new translator let us all know what he was actually saying. And I'll just play a little bit of the audio. This actually comes from Fox 4 out in Dallas, Fort Worth. Shohei Ohtani on the gambling allegations that are out there.
Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies. Last weekend in Korea, media has reached out to a representative in my camp inquiring about my potential involvement in this sports betting. Ipe never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry. And to the representatives in my camp, Ipe told to the media and to my representatives that I, you know, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt. Upon further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually, in fact, Ipe who was in debt.
So that was the translator speaking on Ohtani's behalf there, and clearly the line in the sand was drawn on what side and what stance Ohtani is taking, that he obviously did not bet on baseball, he says, did not bet on anything, never used it a bookmaker ever, said that he had no idea, was caught off guard, and that's the stance he's taking. Well, let's assume everything for a second is 100% true that he said, that he had no idea, that his friend screwed him over and all this.
Yeah.
How still, we don't have the answer because he didn't take any questions. How did the interpreter, who's also was his best friend, get access to his bank account? And I know some former players and some agents on social media were commenting how, you know, they advise their clients, obviously, not to let other people have access to their accounts. But there are some players that choose to still allow multiple people access to their accounts. So maybe we're going to find out that the interpreter had access. But that's where the questions would still would like to have asked and then answered, because that's a huge part of this. Like, did your interpreter have access to your bank account? Because if the answer is no, okay, then it once again is like, okay, how did the money get transferred? Because what bank was he using that didn't make him verify these transfers that eventually equaled over $4.5 million that was taken from his bank account? His financial team, nobody noticed? It's one thing for Ohtani not to notice because you got all this money and you got other people monitoring your stuff. Okay, how did nobody around you? So I'm supposed to believe that the bank screwed up, the interpreter screwed up, your financial assistant or team also didn't. All these other people just screwed you over because they didn't tell you.
It seems like either you're so, and this idea that like, hey, I didn't even know that this was a thing. Is Ipe the only person who talks to you? Like, that's the only person who can reach out to you. You don't have marketing teams? You're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Didn't someone from your PR team, like your personal PR team, who I assume speaks your native language, didn't reach out to you about your possible involvement in this? There's just too many questions. And look, I think this is this blind idea because like national reporters would be like, hey, you'd be surprised how little big athletes know about the amount of money they have. I'm like, no, I get that. I really do. I understand, which is why I'm not surprised when you see these stories about like, Baker Mayfield's family ripping him off, or money managers for these people ripping them off. Interpreter is not a money manager. I'm not surprised to find out people who would likely have access to your money have stolen money from athletes. That's a tale as old as time. Your interpreter having that access. Look, so I have a bank account like anyone else. Yeah. On my checking account, in order to log in, I have to use two-factor authentication. You're telling me an account in which he can wire hundreds of thousands into millions of dollars doesn't have any extra safety measure prevented from the interpreter from accessing $4.5 million? There's a big missing gap of how easy was it to access your finances? How easy was it to gain access from your finances? And I know that they're like childhood friends, so maybe you just let your guard down a little bit with your guy, but I don't know, man. I still think my working theory is still as simple as what you and I said. No, I don't think he was betting on it. Yeah, I do think he tried to pay off his good friend's debt, and then he realized how much trouble he would be in by doing so. How that would make him look complicit. How it could appear as if he made those bets on his behalf. How it could appear that he dodged taxes in the federal end by paying that without disclosing it. I think that that's his fear. Not the fear over, I don't currently think Shohei was doing the betting. But I don't buy this story either.
Yeah, I still think there's a lot of missing pieces to the story. Again, most notably is what we're discussing is the access to the money. And it's like, were you really, why would he have had access to your money? That's one question that has just simply not been answered. And if he didn't have access and the bank still allowed the transfers, well, then you should sue the bank because they didn't follow standard protocols of the industry. If that's the case, I mean, that basic stuff. So these are the questions that are still out there. I love how at the end he's like, thanks for the time and no more questions. And I just want to play baseball. Like, well, it's not that simple. Now, look, the Major League Baseball is going to continue to ask him questions. And obviously federal authorities are going to continue to ask him questions. And it might take months from now before we get any more clarity on what happened. As you said, it wouldn't be the first time an athlete got scammed. It would be a lot clearer if point blank Ohtani was asked a question yesterday. He didn't allow any, but if he was asked a question yesterday and he said, no, he didn't have access. And I'd be like, okay. Or yes, he did actually have access. That was a mistake of mine. All right, well, that actually makes more sense why the money was transferred. But that's the part that I'm not sure.
Or just saying, I don't know how he gained access, but he clearly had it. Even that would be enough. Yeah. It's funny because like this one is shrouded in a lot more mystery. Like, for instance, there was a different gambling scandal yesterday in the NBA. Yeah.
Way worse, by the way.
With Jontay Porter, brother of Michael Porter Jr. Everybody remembers him from the two of them when they were at Missouri together, and Jontay reclassified, and then Michael Porter got hurt. So, like with the Shohei thing, there's so many details I don't know. The Jontay one just looks suspicious as hell.
Yeah.
He's a part-time two-way player, and then twice people tried to put massive sums of money on his unders where he also just happened to suffer from an eye injury. How the hell is Jontay going to get out of that one?
Yeah,
no chance.
So in a game on January 26th, this comes from ESPN's reporting, against the Clippers, there was increased betting interest on the under for Porter props, which for the night happened to be set at 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.5 assists. There was also an over-under for Porter's made three-pointers was 0.5. That night, Porter played just 4 minutes before leaving the game to due to what the Raptors said was a re-aggravation of an eye injury he suffered 4 days earlier. He did not score in the game, had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, did not attempt, meaning the under hit on all props. There's two other instances that this happened, and it ended up being one of the more popular or our biggest, you know, most profitable bets of the evening for, as you said, a player that a lot of people listening probably have no clue, other than being a Missouri Tiger fan, what team he even plays on in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I had no clue he played on the Toronto Raptors. I wasn't following Jontay's career. And so it's unusual. A bunch of betting action on a Steph Curry under, not unusual. A bunch of actions on a Jontay Porter under. And player props typically only let you bet up to $1,000. The report was $10,000 to $20,000. Yeah. Red flag city. I mean, look,
one feels definitely like there's ain't no way he wasn't involved.
So he was taken out of the lineup. Obviously, the NBA is investigating. I mean, I am barring some change in the information as of right this second. This looks so obvious, cut and dry. And you're talking about not just NBA ban, you're talking about potentially criminality here.
So, but the NBA ban is really important because baseball already drew its line in the sand with betting with Rose. Did it years and years and years and years ago. But because these partnerships have gotten so big, and part of what we talked about yesterday, maintaining those, This is the first case to make an example. And if they have any evidence that he did it,
they will.
Stern's going to have to hit him with the absolute hammer and say, lifetime
ban,
you're out. Because they're going to have to try to discourage this in other ways. Because let's not pretend like, look, it's the same thing. Legalizing should make it easier to catch it. It should for this reason, right? Somebody is monitoring.
It did.
Yeah, in this case,
That's why we got caught.
Yes, in this case, it did. There's no doubt. I'm not going to speak for every case. I don't know. That's a big generalization.
Well, it's a generalization, but I think on two things. You and I have gone back and forth on this. I think one thing is a fact, and one is more speculation. I think it is a fact that the reason why Porter got caught is because of a legalized sports betting regulatory framework. That's why he got caught. That, to me, like that, you and I can disagree on a lot of things. That's one thing I don't think there should be a disagreement.
In this case, I agree. That, I'm not saying for every case. Like, I'm not saying they've caught 100% of the people through the system or whatever.
I mean, what? Give me one crime that's 100% caught.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, like, there's someone that robbed a bank, I'm sure, that we just don't even know robbed a bank. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, but in this case, Porter got caught because of regulated sports betting. That's true. What you always say, and I think there's some truth to it, but it's way more speculative, but I agree with you, it's probably correct, which is the idea that this type of issue could happen more because it is so readily available. I think there's truth to that. But that is more speculative. I tend to agree with you, but that's more speculative, whereas one thing is true. He got caught because
they've got
irregularities
place,
were in a regulated market versus betting with, you know, John whatever down the street.
Whichever guy Shohei's guy was betting with. Now he got caught because the old feds were coming after his ass. A much more time-detailed indication.
If it's Porter, whatever is a complete moron for this, because it's so obvious, you can't be betting $20,000 on a no-name player in the NBA. No. And what's even worse, unders, Cody, it wasn't like, oh, I'm betting on myself, which you still can't do, but betting
unders,
on myself.
The easiest thing to shave when you're like, my eye hurts.
Yeah, I'm betting on myself
off
to
the court for the rest of the day.
I just don't know how he, because a lot of times, at least on when I bet, guys like Jontay Porter aren't even available. They aren't even in the list. So how he even
he
got
was on DraftKings.
Into the sports book, that is confusing to me.
He was on DraftKings those nights.
Yeah, but just, you said, Cody, 12 minutes?
Yeah.
That's
what he averages a game.
There are at least seven guys that are above him that are on there, or
but
some of them might even not
the
be
problem.
On
it's
them.
Like, the reason why it looks more guilty is that it's way, like, it just makes more sense. If a bunch of money came in on, you mentioned Steph Curry unders, Steph Curry makes too much money. How much money you would have to pay him to throw a basketball game for it to be financially worth it to him? $50 million. Do you know how many bets you would have to get in to make this whole scam worth it? Jontay Porter has a career earnings of $2.3 million. If you threw $30K at him, or half of the winnings on these bets, that might be enough for him to actually sway it. That's the problem. That's the problem for Jontay. It's easy to see why he could have been talked into fading his own unders and then just saying, my eye hurt.
If there was if you were to find the most simplistic, obvious way to skew a player prop, which is what we're talking about here, just by your under on point, this is the most obvious way to do it, and that's why it looks so just like, you idiot. what were you thinking? We'll see if new details come out with this in the next couple of days as well. Up next, though, we are expected to be joined by Jonathan Katz to talk a little bit more about the stadium vote, which is a week out, and what the NFL is doing with a new kickoff rule.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Jonathan Katz of Fox 4 to get his perspective on the vote in Jackson County. That's a week from today. This time next Tuesday, everybody will have the opportunity to vote on question one. Of course, early voting is already going on, but we'll know next Tuesday night, most likely, after the polls close, next Tuesday night, what is actually going to happen for the Royals and the Chiefs with the current plan that they have. And of course, what happens if a vote were to fail? All of that we'll get into with Katz in just a little bit. During the break, just some more news on the L'Jarius Sneed front. We kind of had seen some of these numbers, but it's now official. L'Jarius Sneed did agree to a new contract with the Tennessee Titans now that the deal is done. 4 years, $76.4 million, $55 million guaranteed, according to Ian Rappaport, and a $20 million signing bonus. And that, of course, makes him one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL. And if you're Sneed, I mean, how great is that for you? You were going to sign a night. You already were on a tag that you had eventually signed, $19.8 million. So instead of wait, that was going to be the money you were getting all year, Cody. Now you get a new deal. You get a $20 million signing bonus. So you get that now in March. $20 million. You don't have to wait for the entire season. And you know for the next four, really three, but next 4 years, you got 55 more coming your way. But he gets the $20 million now. He doesn't have to wait till through the whole season. He gets it right away. Yeah, I mean, that's what he wanted, and he deserves it, and good for you, especially if you do have knee medical questions around your knee.
Yeah.
Get that money.
Lifetime security.
Get that money.
Look, would I have wanted to give Sneed that deal? No, we talked about it. That number would have scared me away. You can't not sign any big contract just because the numbers are a bit terrifying, but it's just they've got enough risk floating around out there between Chris Jones and Juwan Taylor that I didn't need a third risky contract out there at the moment. I'd like a more stable force.
Extend out this run, this dynasty. Yeah. We just mentioned some of the young players maybe that they might be extending. Yeah. This was a calculated decision they made. And if, you know, other teams like the Titans have a quarterback on a rookie deal, they're able to pay this player. And the Titans obviously have a much different path anyway. Their team, I still, even with some of the moves they made this offseason that I liked, I still think the Titans are what? An 8-win team next year, something like that.
Care.
You know,
I hope that they're a 3-win team, seeing how the Chiefs
for the pick.
Own their third round pick.
That would be terrific.
I hope they stink.
That would be fantastic. Absolutely with you on that. The NFL today did approve something we've been discussing for a couple weeks, and it's actually based off of the XFL, which doesn't exist anymore, but what the XFL had used a year ago, which is their kickoff model. To sum it up and make it as simple as possible, because they put out these graphics and charts, and honestly, it makes it way more confusing. I actually think once you watch, it'll be pretty easy to pick up on after we watch a couple games in preseason if you didn't watch any XFL. To sum it up, the idea is more returns, because you and I have said, just get rid of kickoffs. If you're not going to come up with something new or try this for 1 year, which is what they're going to do.
They had a 23% return rate last year,
and terrible.
Four kickoff returns for a touchdown.
So this, they believe, will lead to more returns, because any kick that is between the 20 and the end zone has to be returned. They're calling it the landing zone, okay? No fair catches are allowed.
All right.
Bouncing touchbacks go to the 20. So if you kick it, it bounces at the 5 and rolls in the end zone, 20-yard line. If it's just a straight touchback, like Butker just bombs it forward to the other end zone, that's a 35-yard line. You don't want to be doing that. And kicks that don't reach the 20 result in a touchback at the 40. So you can't just squib it and it barely gets there. Otherwise, it's at the 40. So those are the variables. The key is probably going to be strategy-wise, can you get it to bounce, you know, at the 10-yard line and it's
rolling and
rolls into the end zone, or you just feel like you got a great chance to, you know, for coverage. But that's what it's going to be. I actually think it won't be as complicated once we see it a few times. And they're going to try it. If this fails and somehow we're like, it didn't change anything, then just get rid of kickoffs.
That's why it's
a
one-year probationary period.
Because they're not going back to the old way, which is what was the entertaining aspect.
This is their last gasp effort to save the kickoffs, and that's fine. That's fine. Look, it worked for the XFL. And by the way, credit to the XFL. They also invented in-game interviews and Skycam, and now have changed the way the NFL does kicks. So as much as those leagues have failed, and they have, over and over again, at least they're willing to try things that will better the sport. And when the NFL sees one that they like, they don't mind floating it out on their end as well. This showed a massive reduction in concussions for the XFL. And again, 90% return rate versus the current 23% that the NFL sees. If now at least, you know, because for kickoffs for the longest time, Gold, that was immediately like, go get a snack, go to the kick. Because
it's a waste of time right now.
They score the touchdown. All right, I got like 20 minutes. They score a touchdown. I'm going to have to wait a second. Then they're going to kick an extra point. Then there's going to be a commercial. Then they're going to do the kickoff. Then there's going to be a commercial. Like, I got all the time in the damn world. I don't have to pay attention to any of this. Now, at least they're forcing me to stay near or on the game for some stretch of time. Like, it might actually matter. I don't know if it'll lead more touchdowns, but they also, small part of this, by the way, they'll let you do unbalanced onside kick again.
Yeah, which gives only you in the fourth quarter, chance. I think. Yeah, only in the fourth quarter,
and you have to declare it. It can't be a surprise onside kick.
Yeah,
at least they're giving you a slightly higher chance of getting that too.
They voted down the 4th-and-20 onside kick alternative, which is something you and I both would have liked to have seen. That did not happen. So yeah, let's see what they do. This, you're right. This is the last ditch effort, really, to kind of save kickoffs. Yeah, and for those that are saying, "Well, this sucks. Just do it the old way," I'm with you. They're just not going back to the old way, clearly. So it either is this is going to work, or kickoffs might go away. So I hope this works. I hope it leads to some more returns, a little more excitement, and there's a little strategy. If you're Dave Tobe and you're Butker and you're kicking off, there's definitely some added strategy to go with that. It's going to be interesting to see just how this plays out and what teams think they can come up with. Because you know there's, whether it's Tobe or anybody else, you know they're thinking, okay, how can we kind of, not rig the system, but how can we...
Well, I saw one thing I returned for a touchdown where they did like the pitch backwards, right? Because everyone's in such close proximity. Yeah. You just try to get to the edge that eventually scores a touchdown. It'll be, you know, I guess they'll have to spend more time on it in camp because you're completely changing the way you teach.
Mm-hmm.
The way you have taught kickoffs forever means nothing now. Dave Tobe is at his house scrubbing XFL kick return tape, trying to figure out what they've been doing right or wrong this entire time. Now, the good news is blocking is blocking. Blocking schemes and kickoffs are a little bit different, but the guys are still lined up in front of you, and you're still trying to get past them. So I think it'll just maybe run more like a traditional offensive play.
It looks weird, I'll be honest. I went back and watched the XFL on YouTube. They're just one of their kickoffs.
It looks weird, yeah.
It definitely, basically 10 members of the kicking team are lining up on the receiving team's 40-yard line.
Yeah, so they're right at it.
So Butker's back where he normally is, and then 10 members on the kicking team are up at the opponent's 40-yard line. And they can't move until the kick hits the ground or it's caught. It'll be different. We'll see how it goes. We might in three months into the season, we might say, well, you know what? This works. We might also say, this is the dumbest thing ever. Just get rid of it.
Well, they're only doing it for 1 year. So if we all think it's stupid, they'll just eliminate kickoffs and everyone will get the ball to 30 and we'll just live our lives. They also, by the way, announced that they're going to do Christmas Day games again.
Yeah, which it's on a Wednesday this year.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
Don't like it. I'm just going to say it. I don't like it.
So basically, if you played on the Thursday or Saturday the week before, that's who probably is going to end up on Christmas Day. That's their way of doing it. Now, it's no
what
different
a fun
than
way to watch your team play on a Thursday and then play on Christmas Day.
Yeah, it's no different than time-wise though than playing on a Sunday to a Thursday.
Sure, but
yeah, so it's just not any shorter. But that's we were wondering. You and I had this conversation. I think after this year's Christmas games, we're like, surely they won't do it next year because it's a Wednesday. And say, no, we will. So basically, you end up getting football on the 25th, the 26th. The 28th, the 29th, and the 30th NFL games. And then on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, you would have the college football quarterfinals.
This is if you give a mouse a cookie. I know that everyone's like, they're not going to play football every Wednesday, Cody. Relax. Okay. Well, fine.
I don't think they will either.
Fine. Sure.
They're doing it because it's a day off.
Yeah. And then they'll find like four other Wednesdays during the year that they like. And they'll find other Tuesdays. And they'll like, just give it time. It'll take time, but they'll find every day of the week multiple times throughout the year. This will be the only Wednesday game 3 years from now.
If there's another holiday that falls on a Wednesday, you're right. Unless there's a new holiday being invented that allows for Tuesdays for everybody to have off on Wednesdays. They're doing it on days where people are off. They're trying to take advantage of that. They wouldn't pick a Wednesday if it wasn't Christmas Day. They're doing it because they know everybody's off on Christmas Day. You know, like that's
crazy.
We'll talk more about this a little bit later, but I do want to get into the stadium vote, which is a week from today in Jackson County. Question one in regards to that 3/8 cent sales tax extension. And Jonathan Ketz over at Fox 4, kind enough to give us some time. He's been very busy covering this, and it's great to have you on the show again. And I know you've been all over the city talking to the various stakeholders in this. And I just want to get in general where your kind of gauges of everything right now, knowing that a vote's a week away, and just yesterday, I believe, the legislature actually received some more of the community benefits agreement information and the lease agreements. Is that right?
So the community benefits agreement for Jackson County specifically is in the hands of the legislators. And so We were notified of that yesterday and talked to a couple of legislators who are, I feel like, kind of on opposite sides of that issue. There are a number of different CBAs. There's a CBA with Jackson County. There's a CBA with Kansas City Public Schools that they're discussing. And there's a CBA with the Crossroads Community Association who will obviously be impacted if the Royals go to the East Crossroads. And so that document, we looked over parts of it. It is lengthy, but one of the things that is new is kind of a community fund that would be set up where the teams would each give back a couple million dollars a year to that board that oversees the fund, and then they would disperse that money to nonprofits. And that is separate money, at least according to Manny Abarca, that currently is not in the 2006 leases, which is part of the reason why he is a vote yes for the April 2nd election.
That couple million a year you're referencing, is that how they get to the, you know, $140 million the Royals are claiming for the CBA? Is that the math on that?
I believe so, but to be honest with you, I'm not completely sure. It is worth looking into more. This press release that came out, a week ago, talking about all the great benefits that the Royals CBA and the Chiefs CBA would have in it. But yet at the end of the day, it was really just a press release. So whether or not, you know, I and other reporters in town look harder into the CBA that just got into the hands of the legislature remains to be seen, as we're, you know, just a week out.
They, in their open letter yesterday, put a lot of these delays on Frank White. Like, when it comes to, like, getting these things late, would your guess in dealing with these things before be more that it's a delay tactic because, you know, nobody looked too close at the Wizard of Oz? Or is it just that really were delays that are pushing these things to getting these community benefits agreements out so late?
I think you can certainly wonder why it took so long for the Royals to announce where they were going to build their ballpark. You know, for so long, we thought it was going to be East Village, East Village, East Village. And then all of a sudden, kind of, you know, at the 11th hour, if you will, they decide that they publicly want to go to the East Crossroads. And those conversations were obviously being had in private for months earlier. But had, you know, for instance, the Royals announced earlier, maybe in January, for instance, or December, that they were interested in the East Crossroads as opposed to the East Village, maybe you would have had a discussion with Crossroads business owners earlier, and therefore maybe you would have had a Crossroads CBA come out earlier than the conversations that we're now having right now of a CBA coming out, you know, kind of at the 11th hour.
We're talking to Jonathan Katz of Fox 4 here in Kansas City about next week's stadium vote in Jackson County. And some had made a kind of a bigger deal in the last 24, 48 hours about increased money now coming into the Vote Yes campaign, at least for what we would assume is ad spending inside of a week. I think it's over $3 million now. Is that just, hey, it's a political campaign and it's inside of a week? Of course, they're putting in more money. Or are you getting any indication that there's maybe concern on one side about potentially the results come next Tuesday?
I think they are concerned that this vote will fail. And I don't know if you've heard that from anybody, but I think there is a lot of opposition to the Vote Yes campaign, whether you're talking about the Crossroads business owners who, you know, don't necessarily own the property, people in Eastern Jackson County who are not gung-ho on a Royals stadium further west of the county in downtown Kansas City, or KC Tenants, who you guys have probably seen just put out their own ad on television. I think there is a chance that this fails next week. And that's with the Chiefs being the best team in the NFL right now. And yes, the Royals are the second worst team in baseball. I think this election will be really close, and I could see it failing.
When you look at what things they'll try to do over the next week, like I've seen Sherman out in the public more, what do you think their approach will be to try to sway whatever might be undecided? I think you guys and others have been running those polls, and there still is a 7 to 10% of people, I think, who claim they're undecided at least.
Undecided, yeah. I mean, I think that the Vote Yes campaign is trying to get every piece of news out there that makes their side look good. And an example of that is the letter that they apparently sent to the Jackson County legislators yesterday saying that Frank White has held up this process. Frank has certainly not been helpful to the Vote Yes campaign, but he does have people on the Jackson County legislative side that still agree with him that the Royals and Chiefs, for instance, have not handled this very well if they wanted to get it on the April ballot. You know, for instance, Sean Smith, who is one of the legislators I talked to yesterday, and he hasn't officially said that he is vote no, so I don't want to say that he is, but he has wondered why we couldn't have this election in August when there is a Missouri primary for statewide races, or why couldn't we have this stadium question on the November ballot when there's obviously the presidential race? That way there's more turnout. Therefore, you get a better representation of the entire county voting on this in one of those elections as opposed to April. So, you know, I think this race will be close. And even though, you know, a lot of people are blaming Frank for, you know, making this process very hard on the Chiefs and the Royals, like, there are other people who are elected leaders in Jackson County who work at that courthouse who do feel the same way he does.
Let's say it fails next Tuesday, and I agree with you, it's going to be close no matter what the result is on Tuesday. I don't think either side's winning this thing in a landslide or anything like that. So let's say it does fail, Jonathan, on Tuesday. What's next? My understanding is they can give it another go a year from now. Is that right? And do you believe that we would just see at that point really every option be on the table where Kansas comes into play and other counties maybe on the Missouri side?
I do believe Mark and Brooks, Sarah, John, when they all say that they've got to look at all their options. And to be honest with you, why wouldn't they? Now, that's not to influence any Jackson County listener who hasn't voted on this yet. But as a business, the Chiefs and the Royals have to look at their stadium site locations, whether that be in Jackson, Wyandotte, Clay, for the Royals, if this vote fails. However, you know, do the Chiefs go back to the drawing board within Jackson County if this vote fails, and they specifically look at being on the ballot themselves the next go around? Maybe they do, because I think we all think that this vote would probably pass easily if it's not attached to the Royals, because the Chiefs are so popular. But then I also think if that's the case, then I think the Chiefs may be asking for the 3/8 of a cent all to themselves. Of course, if they're splitting it with the Royals, they only get 3/16 of a cent. But then that would also probably change what they specifically do out at Arrowhead. And so I don't know. This will be really interesting to watch over the next week. And if it fails, then of course we have so many other stories to potentially cover.
Do you think that there was at any time that they considered going alone? Like, you're mentioning this, you know, the 3/8 versus the 3/16. Was there a time during this process that the Chiefs and Royals thought about separating?
I'm not sure. I mean, certainly the Chiefs would never say it publicly.
Sure.
But part of the reason why the teams feel like they have to go at it themselves right now is because these renegotiated leases attach them at the hip. And they're so, because of the fact that they're attached right now until 2031, if you're going to renegotiate the current leases, then you really kind of have to still go at it together.
Sure.
Where both of them split the money. But like, if the Chiefs and the Royals continue to play out at Kauffman and Arrowhead through their 2030 seasons and their leases end in the beginning of 2031, then it's like the Chiefs could ultimately do whatever they want all by themselves starting in 2031 if they let this current lease expire. And right now they're really not letting the current lease expire. They're just renegotiating it. So that's part of the reason why they still have to go at it together and each split that 3/8 of a cent.
Jonathan Katz of Fox 4 has done an incredible job covering this for well over a year now, I guess, at this point in time. And next week, obviously Tuesday, a huge day in Jackson County and really for the entire Kansas City region. So thanks so much for the time.
Have a good rest of the day, guys.
Will do. Jonathan Katz over at Fox 4. And yeah, I mean, we all have been talking about this for a very long time. And now next Tuesday comes down to that. And as he said, if it fails, then there's 100 more questions that suddenly have to be asked, depending on the result next Tuesday in Jackson County on question one. We'll react a little bit to what Jonathan had to say, plus what Sean Payton is now saying about the Denver Broncos and the draft.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.